our efforts. Not that we do things for the praise or the glory of men. Not that that's our motivation. But it is nice to be acknowledged. It is nice for people that day or week in, week out, are always there to teach a Bible class. It is nice for those people that work tirelessly for things in the building. Things we take for granted. That there's, I mean, it sounds funny, and I don't mean this in any irreverent behavior. To go into the restroom and there's always toilet paper. I don't mean that jokingly. It just doesn't poof and it's there. For the light bills to always be paid. I've never written the check. I've never been the one to make sure that the water's turned on. I always assume that when somebody comes forward to be baptized, Ken, when you were baptized recently, I assumed that the baptistry was full of water. Wouldn't have that been something? Ken wanted to be baptized. Let's do it. Take his confession. We go back there, and it's all evaporated. And Ken, we're going to have to find some other place. I just assumed it was there. The efforts that you put in that maybe go unnoticed by other people, God knows. God knows. God knows the time, the money that you put into aiding His church. I don't necessarily mean the collection plate. I mean buying something out of your own pocket and you donate it to the congregation. Whether it be Bibles, whether it be Bible tracts to aid somebody in their Bible study. God knows. Not that we want to do it for that pat on the back. Because I tell you, if we as Christians, Jesus talked a lot about that. That if we do something for the purpose of getting that pat on the back and the praise of somebody else, there's your reward right there. God ignores that then. God ignores those efforts. He knows our hearts. That we've tried our best. That we will do what we can. That we will do what we can with what we've got, with where we're at. You can't do any more than that. Do what you can with what you have, where you are. It's not as much as somebody else. It doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. Do what you can. And God knows that. Our fears, our trials, our battles. Every one of us is fighting a battle. We had a lesson not too long ago about David and Goliath. Every one of us has a battle that we're fighting. Sometimes they're a big giant like Goliath. Sometimes it's easily taken on. Sometimes it's one of those you got to strap it up and get with it. Sometimes it's a battle that doesn't end overnight. Our fears, the things that keep us awake at night. That the world shuts off, but it stays there. God knows those. Things that we may not even share with each other. maybe not even share with your best friend or whatever. They know your persecutions. God knows the persecutions that we go through as Christians. The world is increasingly against what we stand for. Increasingly. I look at these young people in the audience and I think, what's it going to be for their generation? It seems like in my lifetime, I look at the media, I look at television, I look at movies and so forth. And I remember a time when good was promoted. When values, godly biblical values, were the thing of the day. At the end of the show, there was always a good lesson to have been learned. Mom or dad was right. Things like that. And now, the world just kind of thumbs their nose at those lessons. And it's anything of Christianity is being beat down. The persecutions, God knows. He knows our faith. He knows our faith. He knows the struggles we face. And the faith that we display, the obedience of our faith that we display, He knows, whether anybody else does or not. Our scripture reading this morning was taken from Exodus 3:7. And this sums it up. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows." He has seen, He's heard, and He knows. The Israelites were in bondage over 400 years. Wonder how many times it went through their minds. Does our God even know? Does He even care? It was part of His plan. I'm going to bring my people out of bondage. And it came about at this time. But He is seen. He knows. He's aware of it. He hears our cry. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." That's God. That's God. Before we were formed, He knew us. He knew you. He knew me. He knew Jeremiah. He knew Moses. Jonah. First chapter, Jonah. God was wanting Jonah to do something. Silly Jonah. Thought he could run from God. Thought he could run. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Take a look at the map here. Wants him to go to Nineveh. "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish," total opposite way, from the presence of the Lord. "He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to go as far as I can get, I thought. And we know that story. It didn't work out for Jonah. He thought he was going to depart from the Lord. And when we know what happens, and in the next chapter, in chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. He is inside a fish, deep into the ocean. Even if you were on the surface in a boat, out in the middle of the ocean, wouldn't you feel isolated? Wouldn't you feel so far from everything? Jonah's not even in a boat. He's inside a fish, deep into the ocean. I thought I was trying to get away from God, going to Tarshish. How far am I from Him now? And he found out he was a prayer away. He was a prayer away from God. And he says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and You heard my voice. God knows. 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul writes to Timothy, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows His people. He knows those of us that are His. Are you recognizing me, God, in this world of so many people? Do you know that here I am? Where's Waldo? See me, God. He knows. God knows those that are His. Jesus said very similar, the same thing. John 10:14, He says, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known by my own. I know those who are mine, and they know me. The sheep know the shepherd. There's a lot in the world that are just wandering aimlessly, that have no shepherd. We know who our shepherd is. And God and Jesus know us. We're not isolated alone. He knows us. God sees in secret. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, He displays 3 different ways that He sees in secret. In people's charitable deeds. Does everybody see what I just did? Well, if that's what you're going for, if that's what the person's going for, then God's really not going to reward that one. If you're going for that pat in the back by people, oh, that was such a great prayer. Oh, what you just did was so good. That's going to be your reward. God knows our charitable deeds. He knows the prayers we offer. When we're by ourselves, just us and God, He knows those prayers. When we pour our hearts out to Him, the fastings, and every one of them, He condemns the people that are doing it for show compared to for real. As the kids in school say, for reals. He knows those that are doing it for real, not for show. whether it be good deeds that we do, whether it be the prayers that we offer, is it for the flowery words, or is it a heartfelt prayer to God? The fasting. He's criticizing the people here in Matthew 6 that change their clothes and put the ashes on their face and walk around. Oh, I'm so hungry. Why are you hungry? Oh, I've been fasting for... I tell you, I fasted last night about 5 or 6 hours. That's enough for me. But criticizing those that are doing it for show. But the scary thing is God also knows our sin. There's no hiding our sin from Him. Adam and Eve tried to do that. Adam and Eve tried to hide. Tried, thought they could. Genesis 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Or so they thought. They thought that they were hiding from God. And they said to them in Luke 16:15, and he said to them, this is talking about the Pharisees, you are those who justify yourselves before men. But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination. That's a strong word. That's a strong word. We don't really use the word abomination much today. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. When he was talking to the Pharisees, one would think on the surface, these are the religious leaders. These are our patterns. But Jesus is condemning them because he says, but God knows your hearts, your motivations, the real reason behind why and what you do. And it's an abomination. What people think is something to be praised, it's an abomination to God. Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, but I say to you, that for every idle, oh man, this is hitting home now. Can we just skip this one? But for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Got a lot of idle words that I'm going to have to account for. A lot of idle words. Everything we do, God is aware of. We are going to have to make an accounting of our actions, our sins, our thoughts, even our idle words, God is aware of. In Revelation 2 and 3, we see the letters to the seven churches in Asia. We had a lesson on that a couple of months ago in Revelation. The different churches, in every one of them, it is said, I know your works. I know your works. Whether they're out in the open, whether it's secret or not, I know them. Both good and bad. There was a few good things that you hope God sees. God sees them. But he also sees the bad. The faithful works. The things that you're standing up for doctrine, the things that you're doing to promote the church, His kingdom, He sees. He knows. I know your works. He also knew the idolatry. He also knew the sexual immorality that might have been on the surface or behind the scenes. He knew the lack of faith, the struggle of faith that some of them faced. And He was aware of the lukewarm behavior, the lukewarm attitude, the lukewarm actions and obedience that they had, that the result was going to be to spew them out of His mouth. To just spit it out. Like Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But didn't we do this for you, God? Didn't we do this for you, Jesus? Didn't we do this? "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness." But in every instance of the negative, there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the answer was right there. Repent. Repent while you still can. That's the great... Talk about the gospel, the good news. Talk about good news. That we have the avenue of repentance. In Acts 17:30, it says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Just because God didn't call you on the carpet at one time doesn't mean you have, that you're scot-free. Now you've got to repent. Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was delivering that tremendous gospel sermon, and in verse 37 where it says that the people were cut to the heart, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter responded. Gave him the answer, gave him the remedy. Repent and be baptized. Excuse me. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 13:3. Jesus Himself said, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." If you think you don't have to repent, take it up with Jesus. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading the mail. I'm just reading the words. I didn't come up with them. But I'm thankful for repentance. God knows. He knows our fears, our trials, the efforts that we go through, the things that we put in to serving Him. He knows. He knows our hearts. And I'll tell you, what I am aware of, there are some good hearts in this room. Hearts of service. Hearts of compassion. Hearts that want to serve God. He knows the persecutions that we face and that we're going to have to face in coming years. But He also knows our sins. The remedy to those sins is repentance, to be covered by the blood of His Son Jesus. Anybody that is not baptized, The men that were cut to the heart on the day of Pentecost, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins." Those of you that are not baptized can be covered with that blood of Christ in baptism. Those of us that have already done that, those of us that have already acted on that obedience and fulfilled those commands and still have sin in our lives, can remedy it through prayer and repentance. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayer, through repentance, if you're looking for a church home, if you haven't identified with us here at South Valley and just kind of visiting around, light with us. As they, what they say in Beverly Hillbillies, set a spell. Stay with us. Work with us. There is plenty to do. There's plenty to do here. And we can use your help. Whatever your need, if you'll stand and we'll sing while Curtis leads us, let your needs be known and we'll address those issues. Let us stand and sing.